Okay. I've run over things before. And it's really a miracle when you realize everything that could have happened in that situation didn't happen. And it really makes you aware of the goodness of God and how at times when He intercedes on our behalf, how precious it is being in the hands of a living God who cares for us. And it's a little ironic. I can remember when I was little and I fell off the tractor and the tire stopped like right as it was going to compress my chest. And you think of all these little times in life. God has a plan for his life. I was talking to them a couple weeks ago and they were telling me about when he choked and turned all purple. And, God has a plan and a destiny. And he's responsible for seeing that destiny come forth. And Satan can't take it from him. So we can have confidence in God. Life happens and life brings trouble. But we can have confidence in God. I want to share with you today, hopefully a little bit different, or at least a different perspective. I'm going to tell you the story or read the story of the prodigal son. Most, if not all of you, should be familiar with the story. I'm not so much going to talk about the father. I'm not so much going to talk about either son, even though they'll play a part of it. But I want to talk a little bit about what the Lord's showing me regarding his kingdom and how we function in it. And I may be a little all over the place because he just takes me so many places. Every time I take the time to talk to the Lord about this, he's showing me something different. And it always becomes more important than the last thing he showed me, even though the last thing he showed me was so good. So then you start trying to compile and you feel like, okay, I can just lay it all aside and he'll show me something different. And he does. But I believe this is a short list because I don't think it's exhausted of what he wants to show us. It's just about living in his kingdom and making sure we're being functional in the kingdom of God. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for your word. I ask that just you take this story that you've told and enlighten us to us and just bring truth of your kingdom into our reality so that your kingdom can come and your will be done and this earth will be taken for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, Luke 15:11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So all of us are familiar with that story, right? Yeah. We've all heard it different ways. I thought it was interesting. Prodigal son was in one of the songs we sang, and all kinds of good stuff there. Actually, every one of those songs you could preach multiple sermons on. I'm thirsty for whatever reason, so bear with me. So I'm just going to systematically kind of go through this unless the Lord takes me on a detour, which has happened. I'm not going to promise to be short, which I like to do. I can promise I'll be long, which I don't like to do, but I want us to go through this, and I don't want us to miss any of it. I know my voice can be a bit soothing, so if you have to take a nap, go ahead. One of those voices just puts you to sleep. It's all right. You'll still hear it. All right? No snoring, though, because it'll bother somebody next to you, Lisa. Okay? You with me? All right. So, point one, Lord was showing me. In the younger son's request, he wanted what he thought was due him. And again, I'm not so much talking about the younger son, but how we function in the kingdom of God. Now, do you understand the kingdom? The kingdom's all about God. Every aspect of the kingdom is about God. How does God get glory in his kingdom? Through the prosperity of his kingdom citizens. The better you're doing, the more he's glorified. The better you're doing, the more the kingdom grows. You take the land. The more other kingdoms around see what's happening, and it's to the glory of the king. So you have a functional part to play in the kingdom of God. It's not a kingdom where you're called to just sit and worship Jesus. Sitting and worship Jesus is good. It's part of what we do, but we're also to co-labor with him and expand his kingdom. Okay, it's a participation of all the kingdom citizens, and their well-being is what glorifies God. So it's interesting to me that his request was to give, ask the father to give him what was due him. Now, what was due him? His inheritance was due him, right? Typically, inheritance is bestowed upon one once someone has passed. So I think we can question the timing of this request and the purpose of the request. But how this works with two brothers is because he was the younger brother, he gets one-third of the estate. The older brother gets two-thirds of the estate. Double what the other one gets. Okay? You're all with me? So what'd the father do? Father, give me my share of the estate. And he gave it to him, but it was before his time. And I think so often, as a kingdom citizen, we need to understand the timing of the Lord. Be careful of the timing of your requests. Because in the end, you may not bring glory to God in it. And it may be for your ruin. First Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Now, I want us to be aware of our standing in the kingdom of God. And I also want us to be aware of what this is. We're in a kingdom that has no end. Its resources can never be exhausted. It won't spoil, it won't fade. It's eternal. Now parallel this to the Father's kingdom and understand what an odd request it would be to go to the Lord and say, give me what's due me now. Matter of fact, the kingdom we're in, we don't want what's due us. We never want what's due us. We want our inheritance of what's due him. The name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you understand the enormity of what was just said? At his name, blind eyes open. The dead are raised. Why would we ever go and say, give me what's due me? I want to stand before the Lord and say, don't give me what's due me. Just let me share in what's due him. Why? Because he said it. It's our living hope. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Again, just reinforces the message of why. Why would we ask to give me my share? Why would we ask, especially before our time? And why do I say it's before his time? Why? Because the Father wasn't dead, so it really wasn't due him. But also, as you know, the story goes on and tells, and we'll touch on it a little bit. He wasn't ready for the responsibility of his inheritance. We hear stories nowadays that people win the lottery, and 2 years later, they're bankrupt. We see athletes earn millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. In a few years, they're destitute, homeless, living on the streets. They weren't ready. You know, I want to live in the fullness of Christ, but I want to live in the fullness of Christ when he's fully matured me to walk in the fullness of Christ. So at no point in my journey of maturity in Christ, do I give him a bad name? Church, so many of us have stepped out of the kingdom and given him a bad name because we weren't ready. Good intentions, even godly intentions, but it wasn't our time. Galatians 3:26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child, and since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Wonderful passage of scripture that fully explains what I'm talking about in this first point. Give me what's due me. It's the wrong question to ask. There's plenty of good questions to ask. There's plenty of good requests to ask. That's not a good one. Until it's time. And the beauty of it is, it's not a burden on you to know the time. If you trust in the relationship between a child and its father, between you, child of God, and God, it's his timing. You can just rest in that and trust it. You know, my granddaughter's turning four, or has turned four today. I guess it's past the time she was actually birthed, right? She birthed during the night, early morning, 5 a.m. Yeah, so she's officially four today. And I asked her, I said, can you just stay four a long time? I don't remember being four. I remember three because I had my tonsils taken out and I got ice cream. I like ice cream. If you ever see me on a cruise, you'll see me around the ice cream machine. A lot. But there's this beauty of saying young and innocent and playful before the Lord, resting fully on him, not having any burden of life upon you. You know, that's the kingdom you're called into. He says, you know, in a sense, he says, living in this world sucks. That's the Bruce version. He says, you'll have trouble, right? But he said, take cheer because I've overcome the world, right? None of these things really can rock your boat if you're resting in him and you understand the relationship you have with the Father. There's a kingdom perspective here that the Son took himself out of. And we should be asking why and how do I avoid that same decision? Stay in the timing of the Lord. Titus 3:4, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And I think this is just a beautiful passage to have here, because not only did he ask for what was due him early, but he lost the relational aspect of being a son to the Father. And I think so often we live our lives and don't realize the benefits we have of being a child of God. You say, what are you talking about? You don't earn it. Right. You didn't have to earn it. He's a son as long as he stays a son. He's in the kingdom as long as he stays a son. He has all the benefits of the kingdom as long as he stays a son. How do you stay a son? Relate to the Father. Stay in relationship to the Father. He's made you a co-heir with Jesus, not by anything you've done, but by everything he has done. Romans 6:23 says it this way, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Your sonship is a gift. Don't return it. Point two, it's interesting looking at all these things. I could use the same verses multiple times. There's such a wealth and treasure of single verse of scripture and how you can apply it. See, he wanted his own kingdom. He wanted his own identity. He wanted to make a name for himself. I'll put it this way. He wanted his own ministry. He wanted his own pulpit. He wanted his own church. He wanted his own following. See, the younger son got together all that he had and set off. Is it wrong to have your own ministry? As long as you don't own it, I guess not. Is it wrong to have your own kingdom? Yes. So how can it be? Well, then you're not operating in the kingdom you've been saved into and have as an inheritance. You've given away the gift. And when you've given away the gift, you're no longer functioning. You no longer have the benefits. You no longer have the privileges. You no longer can call down 10,000 angels. You no longer have the authority. You've taken yourself and you're trying to make a name for yourself. Why? Because you forgot who you are. Simply put, you're a child of God. You're a kingdom citizen. You're an ambassador of Christ. None of those are about you. They're all about who he's called you to. If you're trying to do your own destiny, it will lead to ruin. Just accept the destiny he has for you. It'll lead to eternal reward and blessing. It will have eternal impact. You build your own kingdom, it will fall. And we've seen it so often throughout the history of the church. We've had ministers in here that fantastic people, and I've had the privilege to sit down with them, and they've wanted to be a part of here. They sense the presence of God in this place, and they have an enormous vision they can see for this place. And I said, but the problem is you can do it without God. I will say this about your church leadership. We can't do much of anything without God. It is absolutely impossible for you to be in this place and follow man. Absolutely impossible. I don't know anybody that wants to grow up and be me. That's a good thing. You know, we want to grow up into Jesus. Right? He's the head of the church. We just serve the head in whatever capacity we can. So there's a story in the Bible. Again, he wanted his own kingdom. That the people of Israel tried this, right? So here's what God says about it. 1 Samuel 8:4. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old." Breathe that in. "And your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." 8:19. "But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, 'We want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles.' When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, 'Listen to them and give them a king.' Then Samuel said to the Israelites, 'Everyone go back to your own town.'" Yeah, go to the next one. 12:19 for Samuel. "But when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, was moving against you, you said to me, 'No, we want a king to rule over us, even though the Lord your God was your king.' Now here is the king you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both of you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you as it was against your ancestors. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call on the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king." Then Samuel called on the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain, so all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. The people all said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die, for we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king." He wanted his own kingdom. He wanted to be king. I don't even know if I can add to those scriptures. But yet so often, we want to set ourselves up as kings in the name of the Lord. And God sees as that evil. That's a strong passage. See, he forgot his place because he forgot who he was. I will never need to make a name for myself because he's given me a name. Matter of fact, with our media, I don't know that I'd want my name anywhere, at any time, for any reason. The only name that matters is the name of Jesus. Don't make the mistake of thinking you need to make a name for yourself. Your own life is the responsibility of the Lord's. And your only purpose is to bring glory to his name. How does that happen? He takes care of you. He might give you your own ministry. Don't think too highly of yourself. Don't try to be king. Point three, be careful what you ask for. You know, we've got the whole story here, so it'd be fun to interview the son, younger son, to say, okay, now that you've went through this experience, would you ask again? Or would your request be different? There's so many things we ask for in the name of the Lord that, man, thank God, a lot of times his answer is no.
Right? Yeah.
We're getting so much trouble.
Yeah.
And the younger son did. He squandered his wealth in wild living, is what the story says. But yet it's all right to ask. I'm going to throw out some verses on asking, and we'll go from there. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You say, what? Why is that scripture in there? Because it tells you what happens when you ask for the wrong things. And God grants them to you. We've already talked about it wasn't his time. We've already talked about his motives. He wanted to have his own kingdom. So often our motives are incorrect. Here, he's asking out of the will of the Lord. And what was happening? The relationship is such that the Father says, I never knew you. You're going to be in the kingdom, which I believe everyone here is. If you're not, ask somebody about it. You need to be in the kingdom. His response will be, I never knew you. When you go your own way and you cast everything else down, you no longer want the gift. You want to set yourself up as king. You ask for the wrong things and they've been granted. You will learn life's lesson. Life's lesson's meant to bring you back to the Father. But life lessons can do lots of damage that only the Father can heal. Be careful what you ask for. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Okay, this is a good thing to ask for. Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And you say, well, those are all positive things. Yes, that's what happens in the kingdom of God. See, the story doesn't give us a ton of detail at the front end. Right? He had a prosperous dad. But it tells you enough that he realizes at some point what he had left. And if you realize what you're leaving, you'll never want to leave. Say, what do I mean? I tell my girls all the time, don't ever leave. So why would I'd still be living with my parents if I could. I know what I left. Took care of everything. I had no concerns or worries. My mom's cooking was great. I'd always have good meals. My dad was an awesome provider. I'd always have a roof over my head. Everything was taken care of. I never had need and I never had want. Why would I leave that? Actually, they left me. They kicked me out and retired. But God doesn't do that. But, you know, leave when it's time. Stay in relationship to the Father. But be careful what you ask for, because you may just get it. Point four, find where you belong. And we were just kind of talking about this. At one point, he's with the pigs, would love to eat the pigs, and he realizes. Matter of fact, the scripture says, he came to his senses. Some of us need to come to our senses. Moment things don't go our way, we ask. We don't get it right away. We're upset. We don't realize the benefits we have living and functioning in the kingdom. This verse is very familiar for everybody, Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and what? Everything. Yeah. All will be given to you as well. Go back to the start of the story when he asked, give me what's due me. Duh. Seek ye first. He already had everything he would ever need. Luke 11:11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Sometimes we just don't trust God. We don't trust God with our life. We don't trust God with our situation. We want to take it up ourselves and think we can do something better. Nice thought, wrong conclusion. There's a reason he calls us a child of God. There's a reason. See, a child is always dependent upon the Father. Always. We were created for interdependence. Our lives function properly when we relate to him properly and when we relate to each other properly. Don't step out of it. Come to our senses. I'm not doing bad on time, so you guys shouldn't be sleeping. Okay, older son. Just a few kingdom things I saw with the younger son. Know what is at your disposal. So the younger son comes back. The father not only restores him to the fullness of sonship, but he kills the fat calf that everybody's been waiting to chew on. Right? And they celebrate. And the older son's ticked off. Why? Because I've never left the kingdom. I've always done what you've wanted. I've slaved, I've worked, I've done everything. Yet you've never. Right? That's what he says. Yeah. Yet you never gave me. Now, start of the story. Younger son asked for something he shouldn't have asked for, right? What'd the father do? He divided the estate and gave it to them. Do you understand what's been given to you? yet you've never gave me. He gave them everything he had. But yet he was living like he had never been given. His complaint should have been looking in the mirror. And he should have been saying, I've been given everything. Everything to live a godly, full life. I've been given everything. I'm without excuse. The Father says, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. So I just want to remind us a couple of scriptures of the kingdom we live in. Psalms 103, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. But you never gave me. It's even better, Jeremiah 29:11. Everyone knows this verse. We say it all the time. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Kingdom plans. We've just discussed some of the kingdom benefits. Here's the plan. Here's your destiny. Plans to prosper you. Are you living in the favor and abundance of the Lord? You have no excuse if you're not. None. Look in the mirror. It's at your disposal. And not to harm you. Are you living under the protection of the kingdom? Why would you ever step out of it? Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, the word says to know God is eternal life. But yet we hope for the resurrection from the dead, just like Jesus said. So we're hoping for something eternally that we can already experience now just by knowing him. Stay in relationship to the Father and start thinking eternally, because everything's been provided that you will ever need. Quit wallowing in circumstances. I know life can be tough, but he overcame it. You're an overcomer. Matter of fact, you're going to do greater things. Well, how can you say that? I didn't. I'm just quoting. Understand who you are and where you dwell. The kingdom of God. Everywhere you put your foot, kingdom of God. Land is his. Why? Because you occupy it to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. Guess what? And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Beautiful passage. Do you know when you speak, he hears you?
Yeah.
When you seek him, you find him. Maybe we should spend more time seeking. And rest in the finding. Because the truth is, when we're with the Lord, everything else doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yep.
But yet, he'll just add in everything else.
Yeah.
So I want to conclude this just with some verses of what Jesus showed us. Because really, Jesus, his journey on earth is all about kingdom living. It applies today in everything we say, do, think, feel. Luke 2:49. And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, you know the story here that I think it's ironic. You know, they go to Jerusalem to do their annual stuff. How can you, like, forget your kid? They traveled, what is it, a couple days before they realized Jesus wasn't around? I mean, I like walk in the house and I notice one of my kids isn't there. Now, I don't notice if she puts something on the wall as a decoration or that. Or it may take me a few days to notice they painted a room. But I notice the presence of my family. I don't get, must have been a cultural thing. I don't get how you could not realize your kid's not there. And I get they brought their whole family, which is an abundance of people and all those things, but that one still just baffles me. But I love his response. And so often see we're in the kingdom, but we're not about the Father's business. Let's be about the Father's business. He showed us the way. See, if he could do it, you're without excuse. John 6:38, "For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." How do you function in the kingdom? Do the will of the king. How do you know what the will of the king is? Spend time with the king. Seek him, you'll find him. It's really simple, but yet so hard to do, apparently. It's funny how life can take us all kinds of different ways, and we get rocked with the waves, right? You're a little uneasy about the election. Little uneasy about the riots. Little uneasy, right? Just some people are frantic. Little uneasy about COVID. Personally, I'm not uneasy about all of it. I don't care. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? Either I'm the Lord's or I'm not. Either I'm going to put things on as a burden in this life that I'm not meant to bear and really unable to bear, or I'm going to give it to him. Now, are there moments? Sure. Sure, there's moments. A lot of them need to be cast down or just handed over. But the truth is, my God's able. My destiny isn't in my own hands. He's responsible for the end. I just get to participate. My choice is, do I participate? Anyways, that was a rant. John 4:34. "My food," Jesus, or said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." You see a pattern. Pattern for Jesus' life. Do the will of the Father. It's that simple. What did he do? Maintain relationship with the Father all the time. Luke 22:42. "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." Ah, he asked a good question. Asked if it could be taken from him, but only if it's your will, not mine. Because I don't want to do this. It's more than I can bear, but if it's your will, I know you'll carry me through it. Proper way to ask. 1 John 5:24. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." See, this is kingdom living. Confidence in approaching God, asking according to his will, knowing that he hears me and knowing that he'll answer because it's his will. That's kingdom living. Why would you live anywhere else? I'm going to wrap it up with this verse. Everyone knows it, and you may think, why do you end with this verse? Because I want this truth to rest in us today. It's Philippians 4:19. And my God, my King, and his kingdom will meet all my needs according to the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus. We're in an eternal kingdom. Anything and everything you need, he has ample supply of. Ask according to his will, confidently, knowing he'll provide whatever you need. Be careful what you ask for. Yeah, I want $100 million. But you know what? If all my needs are met, my want's really not that important. I've always lived the life knowing that my needs were met. I always trusted in my father's abilities to meet my needs. Natural father. I always knew there'd be food on the table, even if I had to go out and kill it. Right? I always knew it. How come in our walk with the Lord, sometimes we don't rest in that truth? Seek him first. Dwell in his kingdom. Don't ask for your own. Just simply stay in the will of the Father. And all the cares and stuff of this world really won't matter because he'll take care of it. And we can rest in that. So bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that, Lord, you tell us stories. And they're wonderful stories with so many truths that you can enlighten to us. And I thank you that for each of us here, in one way or another, you've enlightened us. And I'm thankful that you have a kingdom that is without end. It is everlasting, and we get to be a part of it as long as we stay functioning as your child, as a kingdom citizen, as an ambassador of Christ. And we just pray your prayer that your kingdom would come and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This day, in Jesus' name, I pray the favor and blessings of God upon you. Be blessed.